In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Sometimes as I wander through the readings in the Gospel, you wonder why certain things make it in Scripture, right? And that little story about Martha and Mary, though it's cute, you have to wonder why in the world did St. Luke put that in and among these really powerful, sort of lesson-laden Scriptures that we've actually been reading the last couple weeks and will continue to read from the 9th, 10th chapter of Luke. So, you know, I pondered that this week a little bit, and certainly in the context of the other readings, and one of the things that struck me was an experience in my own life that I'll share, and I'm sure that you all have these kinds of experiences too, where you know that something happened and you have sort of formed a metaphor in your life and you kind of refer back to that. It might be a person, an experience, you know, whatever. Something that has helped form or shape how you live out your life. Years ago, I was, this June 13th, I celebrated 35 years of priest, and so I've been around a couple of years anyway, and my first assignment after ordination was to downtown Cincinnati, to a part of the city called Over the Rhine, which at that time, it's actually where my mother and father grew up, but the city had, that part of the city had sort of fallen into ruin almost, you know. And so it was the area of town where the highest, actually in the country, it was the highest area of violence just a few years ago. The neighborhood was full, frankly and literally, of broken glass and boarded up windows. And when you look down the main street called Vine Street, it was sort of this cavern, you know, of four or five, six-story red brick buildings, the first floors of which were almost all empty and boarded up and glass, and literally you would see rats running across the street in the evening especially. And that's where I actually chose, with three other guys, I was a Franciscan priest, to move and to do ministry in the streets of Over the Rhine, downtown Cincinnati. The Franciscans that I were part of had a school in the neighborhood for years called St. Francis School. So one of the things that I did that was actually probably more ordinary was to work in the school a couple days a week and run. We ran little groups for the children. And it went from to the eighth grade, so it was like sixth graders, seventh graders, maybe some eighth graders thrown in. And most of my day, however, was spent in the jails or on the streets, just walking the streets. And we had a home that we brought in homeless people to live with us. So we had usually about 14 homeless people, if you can imagine, it was a circus, living in this house with four of us who were priests and tried to do that ministry. All right, that being said, that's the setup for the scene. So one day I was walking down Vine Street, again, sort of this cavernous experience, and I heard from one side, maybe four stories up, I heard a little girl, and most folks were African-American or white Appalachian folks in the neighborhood. This happened to be a little African-American girl. And I heard in this you know, hustle and bustle, "Father Bob," coming out like this word from God, you know, up four stories up, "Father Bob." And I looked up, and then all of a sudden from the other side of the street, I heard another voice, you know, and it comes out, "What's a Father Bob?" You know, and so these two little girls from across the street are yelling at each other, "Father Bob, what's a Father Bob?" And then this one says, "He's our father." It was pretty clear I wasn't their father, right? For lots of different reasons it was clear. So this one over here says, "He's not your father. Look at him. He can't be your father." And this one over here starts yelling, but he is our father. And it's like, but he can't be your father. And this is all in the middle of, you know, the downtown experience. And finally, this one over here says, but he is our father. He works at the school and he listens to us. And now this sounds really funky in this context right here at 8 o'clock in the morning, talking like this. But that sentence that came out of this little girl's mouth, a little eighth grade girl, somehow stuck with me and has been part of what stuck with me the last 35 years of my ministry, hopefully. That little sentence, he listens to us. Without which, I think I would not have been able to understand my call as a Christian, right? That something about what I am supposed to do, but most especially, something about who I am supposed to be as a Christian in the world, is someone who can simply listen to another. And that's what this gospel, I think, is about. It struck me. It's like, that's what St. Luke was doing. He was trying to say pretty clearly that this Martha person, who was all wound up in maybe how to throw a nice party for Jesus, you know, and do all the things that are necessary, totally missed the boat. When her sister Mary sat down at Jesus' feet and simply made herself present to him. And I really believe as we reflect on who it is that we are as Christians, you know, we can do all kinds of things. We just can. We have money, we can write checks, we can make things happen. And some of us might still have enough energy to get out there in the streets and make things happen. Or do the kinds of things that Christians do for each other. But Jesus was saying in this very simple story, it's not just about, and probably not most importantly, about the doing. But it really is about how it is that we are and how it is that we be with each other in that relationship of really desiring to understand, to be with, to be a presence to honor other individuals. I had another experience at Lord of the Streets just not too long ago. There was a guy in the lobby, and I knew him. I had known him for a while, and he had been a researcher at the University of Houston. He did chemical research, drug-related research, medication-related research. Well, he ended up with schizophrenia and ended up on the streets and became sort of the quintessential-looking homeless guy, long, scraggly beard, dirty, smelly, disheveled. Struggled with his disease of schizophrenia. And some days he was really very clear, and other days he was pretty profoundly psychotic, floridly psychotic. And this day he was pretty psychotic, the symptoms. And he said to me, "Father Bob, can we talk?" So I said, "Sure." His name is Randy. I said, "Sure, Randy, come on back." And so we sat down in my office, and, you know, I did what I usually do when I want to talk to somebody or listen to somebody, and I sat there and Randy started. And for an hour, he just said things came out of his mouth that made zero sense, right? He was psychotic. Nothing sort of linked together. And at the end of the hour, I'm thinking, such a waste of time for him and for me, because I couldn't be of any help to him. I couldn't give him anything, right? I couldn't make sense of what he was saying. And he started crying. And he said to me, as clearly as anyone would say anything, "Father Bob, thank you for listening. You're the first person that's listened to me and as long as I can remember." You know, and I totally missed the boat. But there was something about just as Mary sat down at the feet of Jesus. You know, I'm sure Jesus wasn't spewing all kinds of theology, right? Jesus was needing someone to be present to him. He's had a long journey, right? A tough journey. He was tired. He probably had a bunch of experiences. He wasn't psychotic. He wasn't, you know, but he needed someone to be present to him. And sure enough, Mary chose the better way, just like Jesus said. She somehow gave what she could in being present to the need that Jesus had to be listened to. And I think that's what life is about, really. It's the most fundamental thing that we have to share as Christians. It's that relationship that we can have with each other. Not one of always trying to make things better and do. Not that there's anything bad about that. But the stuff that we actually can run away from, that desire, that deep desire to just to be present with another human being. Whether it's my wife or my child or someone I don't even know or someone at church that's sort of relatively connected. We never know. But I think Jesus is saying to us today, that's a gift that we need to be conscious about giving. In the first reading today from Amos, it's a short book. Talked a little bit about it last week, you know. And Amos is a prophet who is very clear. You need to do three things. You need to take care of the poor. You need to do justice. And you need to listen to God. And Israel and the rest of you nations out there who aren't doing that, you're going to struggle and suffer, and these plagues and famines that we heard about today are going to come upon you, and all you people, you men, are going to be bald-headed. That was in the reading today. Did you get that? I thought that can't be the worst curse, you know. I mean, you know. But you're going to be bald-headed. You know, these terrible things are going to be happening to you if you don't listen to God and to each other. If you can't be present to the needs of each other. It's not going to work. So I think the readings today are calling us to just a very simple truth. It's very simple in our brains, but it's really not very simple to do. To really, in how it is that we spend our day, to make choices, to be sometimes perhaps a little less like Martha and a little more like Mary. Perhaps a little less frenetic or a little less about how we can do and make things happen and change things. And a whole lot more about how I can simply listen, be present to, honor, cherish, and be blessed by the time that I spend with another human being. It's a simple call. But I think that responding to that simple call can make a profound difference in the life of the world in which we live, in the lives of the people that we come in contact with each day. And frankly, in our own life and our relationship with Jesus himself. Amen.